baton during the stop. Two of the five officers have already pleaded guilty to the federal charges. The officers have also pled not guilty to state murder charges. Federal regulators approved the first flu vaccine that can be given at home without a health professional.
Flu Mist is a nasal spray vaccine initially approved in 2003. It's now okayed by the Food and Drug Administration for at-home use by people from 2 to 49 years old. The FDA says an adult should give the nasal spray to kids 2 through 17. It can also be administered in doctor's offices and pharmacies. Some kids under 8 might need 2 doses 4 weeks apart, and adults over 65 might need a higher dose.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A taboo around it for so long.
Although the U.S. Senate vote failed, Grant says it's encouraging to see policymakers debate this topic openly. Minnesota Governor and Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz has frequently called for expanded access to IVF, citing his family's struggle with infertility. This is Mike Moen for Minnesota News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers, maybe a thunderstorm. Highs in the mid to upper 80s. For tonight, showers and storms are likely, with lows around 55. Things turn cooler by Sunday. Mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a high near 66. For Sunday night, 46.
Right now, it's 58.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris' stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
They do great work all over Turtle Island. We had a weekend and of sorts, and we're going to have our friend Rachel Thunder come on and talk about what happened this weekend. And it's always exciting to see Rachel and catch up. Rachel, are you there? This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. Hoa.
Hey, Robert. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm kidding. Great to see you. A lot going on this weekend. You know, and we also had our relative, our uncle, Leonard Peltier's birthday, and 80 years old. And it's just a sad, sad situation that we have here. But welcome on to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. And no, you're right. I do want to begin by acknowledging Leonard. He just turned 80 years old, having done the past five decades in the United States federal prison system as the longest held indigenous political prisoner in United States history. This birthday, his 80th birthday, is his first birthday while incarcerated that he was unable to release a birthday letter. Normally he writes a letter to the people and it's released and read on his birthday. And this year he was unable to do that because he was in lockdown. So This year was the first year that he was unable to release that birthday statement to us. So yeah, of course, continued prayers for Leonard, and you know, prayers that Biden is able to do the right thing, that spirit and creator works in a way that touches his heart and his mind, and the people around him, so that he can make this decision to let our elder go home on his way out.
Yeah, and thank you for all the work and the walks and the information that you have given us over the years. This is Rachel Thunder, Indigenous Protectors Movement co-founder here in the Minneapolis, and we're playing catch up here and starting out in a somber way. There was another thing happening this weekend too that happened yesterday involving horses.
Yeah, so that was very exciting. Also, heavy in a different way. So there is a horse ride happening that started in San Francisco earlier this year called the Trail of Truth. You can look it up on Facebook and look it up on the news. You'll find different media links about it. But it originated there out of San Francisco with the Ohan tribe, their chairwoman is actually on the ride, and they are riding with the intention and carrying this prayer all the way from their traditional homelands to Washington, D.C. to gain federal recognition, right? And so it's just these issues, like whether it's Leonard Peltier or tribal sovereignty or blood quantum, you know, all of these issues that these colonial systems, these colonial governments that we have put on our people are all pretty new terms in terms of our society and our existence, right? And how we exist, Robert, and how we've existed since the beginning of time. And we're having to adapt to these Western ways of being, of existing, and of fighting, you know, because the Indian Wars never ended. There's still declarations of war and acts of war done against our people on a regular basis. So what this ride is doing is not only, you know, garnering attention for that tribe to gain federal recognition, but also elevating the issues that each community is facing as they come through that area. And so they coordinated with us, with the Indigenous Protector Movement and community here in South Minneapolis, to elevate issues and to bring that good medicine, that horse medicine, here to community. And so the horse ride actually started in Cedar Field here, and then in South Minneapolis, went down E.M. Stately, down Ogama, around Little Earth, went up Cedar Ave, right past the Red Lake building and Homeward Bound shelter, and then went west down Franklin Avenue, you know, going past all of our relatives. And, you know, one of the prayers that was really being elevated here for this community, and something that all of our communities are facing across Turtle Island, is this addiction, this drug epidemic that is taking a generation of our people. Just how the boarding schools took a generation and disconnected a generation from, you know, from the rest of our people, from traditional ways, from life, from living, from our children. That's what these drugs are doing. And so, you know, just bringing that medicine through community and through these streets, so that healing was done in that way. And then the third issue that was kind of elevated here in South Minneapolis and is what's going on in Pipestone. And so for viewers who don't know, the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission voted 3-2 to grant a permit for a petroleum pipeline to go through Pipestone, Minnesota, which is where our quarries are for our sacred pipestone. That pipestone is the blood of our ancestors, one of the most sacred spaces, not only in Minnesota, but in Turtle Island. One could argue that is not just significant to a few tribes, but is significant to the majority of tribes. And so by doing so, by granting that permit, that was an act of war committed against our people in the ongoing Indian wars that never stopped.
Yeah, they tried to sneak that through, and I saw Crow post something and I almost fell out of my chair that this was going on and happening. This is sneaky stuff again.
It is. So just a little bit of history, and we might have to continue after the commercial break, but this pipeline existed in Pipestone. It actually went right through the park. It went right next to the quarries, and it was shut down. Its permit was denied, shut down. And so now pipeline company has come back under a different name, now it's Magellan Pipeline, and has applied for a permit to reroute. So they're saying, okay, well, we can't be in this like little tiny segment that is the park, right? That's under park service. So they want to reroute around the park through private land. But what they're forgetting to realize is that private land still has geological and cultural significance, that the pipestone doesn't just stop at the boundaries of the park, right? And the cultural significance doesn't just stop at the boundaries of the park. And so the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission granted that permit for them to survey and go through those private properties to the west and north of Pipestone, Minnesota National Park. I'm about to pick up my baby.
Yeah. Hey, we're here with Rachel Thunder, Indigenous Protectors Movement here in the Twin Cities, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this pipeline. I'm going to have to get my jean jacket out of retirement here, it sounds like, and we're just really sick of this, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this and then talk about what we're going to do about it. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Eagle 1490 AM.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Rachel Thunder, Indigenous Protector Movement co-founder here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're talking about pipelines again. And I don't know if I could ever get sick of that or what, but, you know, this show, as you know, Rachel and Haley, this show started because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation that happened around that, or no information about our relatives in Standing Rock about the Dakota Access Pipeline. And then we had our Line 3 here, and Wisconsin's dealing with Line 5. And now we're dealing with this again here in Minnesota in Pipestone. Rachel, welcome back. I'm just really glad that you could come on and talk about this.
Yeah, of course. And so, you know, Robert, the pipeline permit that was granted to Magellan Pipeline is for a petroleum pipeline reroute. And so both ends of the pipeline already exist on each side of Pipestone Park there in Pipestone, Minnesota. And so it's currently not operating because they were removed access from their pipeline that was going through the park. And so they've reapplied now for this permit to reroute around the park, which the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission granted on September the 11th of this year, 2024. The condition that the commission gave to them is that they are required to survey, do a geological survey and a cultural survey of that reroute section in coordination with tribes, quote, end quote, and that they have to do proper consultation with the associated 23 tribes with Pipestone, with the sacred place. So what that means or what that's actually going to look like in reality is a bit foggy. They did not provide a timeline for said geological surveys, cultural surveys. They didn't provide a timeline on the amount of time that the pipeline is required to wait for a response from the tribes. They did not designate, you know, the steps that will be taken in that consultation process with the tribe. So it seems a little bit foggy. You know, this past spring, this had gone to a judge in Pipestone. We went to those hearings as well. They were required to do the same thing there. And a lot of times the tribes were just sent a notice, you know, and that was it. And whether that notice actually arrived or was received or a meeting was set up, there was no follow up. And so many of those 23 tribes that are listed in these documents didn't actually ever receive their notice. And some of them weren't even aware of the hearings in time enough to be able to register to even speak. You had to have you had to have registered 48 hours before to actually provide comment at any of these hearings. Jeez. So the whole thing has just been messy to begin with. So what we're looking at now is accountability to the Public Utilities Commission through the state of Minnesota and them doing their due diligence to keep Magellan Pipeline true to their word and true to this document that they drafted to do these surveys. And what I think that these surveys buy us as well is time. Time as Native people, as Indigenous people, to organize, to strategize, and to hopefully stop this before it does turn into, like what you were saying, Robert, like another potential Standing Rock or Line 3 or Line 5 situation.
Yeah. Well, how long ago were they denied, Rachel, in the first place before they changed their name and had all the smoke signals come up? Do you know?
It's been, I don't know an exact date on that. I want to say 2017, but it might not even have been that long ago.
So what I always like having you on, but I also like having a call to action. How can people get involved? Because, again, we have so many listeners out there. And, again, we started the show as a Standing Rock show, basically, you know, 8 years ago. What is our call to action? How can people get a hold of you and know the information and support Indigenous Protectors Movement?
Right. So the Indigenous Protector Movement, you can reach us online through all of our social medias. We do have a art build planned on the 23rd for an all-day event starting at 10 a.m. There's flyers online for this as well. At the Minneapolis American Indian Center, where we're going to make banners and protest signs for future actions all around Magellan Pipeline and protecting the sacred pipestone, that blood of our ancestors. And just so you know, from this art build, these signs, these banners are going to be used in actions that we're currently strategizing on now. You know, definitely looking at the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission's meetings, because ultimately after these geological and cultural surveys are done, the pipeline is going to have to go back to them to get permission to say, okay, now we can start construction. Right. So that's going to be a really pivotal meeting that we need to organize and make sure that we have our people there, that we have our lawyers there, that we have our tribes there, and that we're educated and that we're ready. And then, you know, looking at as well where these pipelines offices are, actions there. And then, of course, we want to make that call out to our pipe carriers. Fill your pipes, pray with your pipes, pray with that pipestone. You know, and pray for what's to come in the future of this place, in the future of our people coming together to stand up in the right way, in a traditional way, in a sacred way, to protect us for our generations to come.
Yeah, again, everyone that's listening, that's Indigenous Protectors Movement here in the Twin Cities. Check it out. Check out Rachel Thunder, and she's the co-founder, and you know, we're always proud to amplify your voice, Rachel, and we're so happy that you could come on and talk about this. And this will not be the end of that, that's for sure, because we need to resist, divest, and run for office and do all those things that we talk about. But we really need support, and that's bodies, boots on the ground, especially when this comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you know, definitely, Robert, I want to say that everybody has their role, right? I think that activists as a whole can sometimes get on the slippery slope of shaming each other, you know, saying, you know, why aren't you showing up for this cause, or why aren't you showing up in the way that I'm showing up? I think that, and what I believe is that everybody has their own way to show up, right? And so like a fight like this, when you're going up against like a pipeline or big oil or, you know, like these big, powerful entities that be, it's going to take all of us and all of our skills. It's going to take grant writers. It's going to take social media campaigns. It's going to take boots on the ground, people ready to lock down. It's going to take organizers. It's going to take pipe carriers, grandmas, aunties. It's going to take all of those different roles that exist, all those different knowledges that exist, all those different life experiences that exist, for all of us to come together in that way. And none of those are any less important than anybody else.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. And I, you know, again, I got to get my American Indian Movement jean jacket ready to go here with the big patch and my headband, looking like I'm a 70s dude, and get out there and protest with you guys. That's that, you know, we're great in numbers, so we have to show up, and like you said, anyway. But I think there's mm-hmm. people out there that are willing to show up in a good way too.
For us. Mm-hmm. For sure. And, you know, I think that writing letters right now to the Public Utilities Commission, writing to them, asking your tribes to write resolutions against this pipeline, reaching out to the National Congress of American Indian. You know, we're going to request, you know, ask them to write a resolution. That there's a lot of work that can be done now that I think can be really, really powerful. And maybe we can stop this before it becomes something.
Yeah, definitely. And especially mm-hmm. with we got a presidential election and we have things going on that we need to amplify to our leaders that are being elected all over Turtle Island, not just the president, but all the way down, that right. we're not going to stand for this.
Right. And we don't, and, you know, we have to let, you know, like our vice president Democratic nomination, you know, governor of Minnesota, this is a chance for him to right a lot of wrongs before this even becomes something else.
Absolutely. Rachel, I want to just say a big thank you, a big peeny geegee for coming on. Really, it's good to see you and good to hear your baby. And I saw your husband drive by me last Thursday. I gave him a big wave, but it's good to be in community and good to see you. And thank you for letting our audience know what's happening with Leonard and what's happening local. Yep.
And anybody that wants more information, just reach out to us or come to the Art Build on the 23rd. We'll be there all day starting at 10 a.m.
Right on. Thank you, Rachel Thunder. Indigenous Protector Movement here in the Twin Cities. We're so happy to have you on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. And what do we got up next, Haley?
Hey, we're going to talk more pipeline stuff, but this time with Joe Bates, who is a member of the Bad River Ojibwe Band. And yeah, we're going to talk the Bad River film. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The first in-person votes cast in three states Friday, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Virginia, where Lucy Mize said she had planned to vote for President Biden, but...
I am very glad that our vice president is now the candidate. I think she's very strong, and I like her messages. We won't go back. Turn the page going forward.
And Vice President Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin and Georgia on Friday. A new policy passed by the Republican-controlled Georgia Board of Elections could impact the timing of the vote count. It requires the hand counting of all ballots. It's expected to be challenged in court. Former President Trump will be in North Carolina tonight. The candidate he endorsed for Governor Mark Robinson not expected to attend after a CNN report of alleged inflammatory comments made by Robinson on a pornography website message board. He called the report salacious tabloid lies. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I'm not sure that it comes down to that. I know they're over there preparing, and we're going to prepare over here and do the best we can come to game time. But like you said, we're taking this thing day by day.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense, regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're a well-built defense, I think, schematically. It's a challenge. Denard Wilson coming from Baltimore, and just he's an experienced guy in this league. And then when you couple that with really good players, you have a chance to be a really good defense.
Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game, which kicks off at noon. The Milwaukee Brewers lost Friday 7-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers four games back of the National League's best record. The same two teams play tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers, maybe a thunderstorm. Highs in the mid to upper 80s. For tonight, showers and storms are likely, with lows around 55. Things turn cooler by Sunday. Mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a high near 66. For Sunday night, 46.
It's 60 at our studios.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to Jane Says at civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And hey, we have Joe Bates here, and it's great to have Joe on. Joe's a member of the Bad River Band of Ojibwe, water protector, treaty protector in northern Wisconsin. And it's great to have you on. We have a big audience in Wisconsin that listens to Native Roots Radio all over Civic Media. So we're really proud and happy to have you on, Joe. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's definitely a pleasure to come back and visit with you again, Robert. You and I did speak several years ago when we were doing an event up in Duluth on the lakeshore there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was bringing awareness to the Line 5 and the other issues that we had with what we call Slope 18. But yes, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Joe Bates. I'm a Bad River Tribal Elder. I also belong on the Bad River NEPA Committee, which is the Anishinaabe Environmental Protection Alliance Committee. And so we have a lot of issues that face us here in the Northland, as well as we're all well aware of. And we try to stay active with that and with what's happening here in our local area that pertains to local to Line 5.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming on, and that's remind our audience about Line 5, and let's talk directly about that, and then really want to get a call to action. And I know the Bad River documentary is coming out, I believe, on Netflix soon, and people can more get clued in on what's happening to our relatives in Wisconsin.
Yes, absolutely. And the film, they cover a number of, say, conflicts that we've had with our environment and what other people have wanted to do here, right here in Bad River, as well as other areas in the ceded territory. But Line 5, this was installed back in 1953 without the consent of the tribe and the tribal members. It was done with Lakehead Pipelines back then. And Lakehead Pipelines. But anyhow, when it was originally installed, a river, Bad River, was over 300 feet from the pipeline itself. Mm-hmm. So over the course of the last 71 years, the river lives. It lives.
Right.
And in doing so, she moves. The river moves. It cuts its own trail, cuts its own path, as does other rivers throughout the world. Now, what ended up happening was the river's trying to create an oxbow right at a location that we call a meander. And an oxbow is basically the river's trying to cut a new channel. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, it has scored the earth away, the walls, it eroded the walls on the riverbank. And now we are just a mere 10 to 11 feet from the pipeline. Our next major storm, and thankfully we haven't had any, our next major storm could very well take that pipeline right out from where it's currently at. The river doesn't have to flood. All we need is high water, and that high water is going to scour the bank as it comes around the curve, and pretty soon it's going to get right into the trench of where that pipeline lays, and then it's just like, whoosh, it's just going to be a vacuum. Everything's going to come out. The pipeline will be suspended, and the weight of the product and the pipeline itself will cause a collapse and a major oil spill. Could be another Kalamazoo here.
Right.
Right here in Bad River. And from there, in 45 minutes, it could be all the way out into Lake Superior and on its journey along our shorelines out here. And that would also include the Apostle Islands. So currently, our court case, which we did win, by the way, and the judge is going to, he ordered the pipeline company to shut down Line 5 by, I believe it's July of 26. Right now, you got Michaels, you have the pipeline company itself, Enbridge. They're trying to fast track the reroute to go that additional 41 miles around Bad River. And all that's going to do is endanger more of our waterways. And it still endangers the Bad River. It still endangers Lake Superior, as well as all of the animals that need that water to survive, including us.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we have to remind our listeners out there is that Enbridge is a foreign company that's digging up pipelines all over the United States and leaking pipelines. We had issues up in the beginning of the Mississippi with Line 3, and they still don't pick up their mess. They still don't tell us what's going through these pipelines, what's making this thick goobly gob of oil going through these pipelines, making it go through faster. And it's just a mess. And I can't believe in 2024, we're still talking about this, Joe.
And not only that, but when they have to slow that pipeline down and drop the pressure on it, how many minute cracks are there that oil could actually seep through? Now, a couple of years ago, just west of Ashland, we had an event take place on Line 5. It's approximately 1 mile west of the reservation. And I did fly my drone there and took pictures of what they did. And they claimed that it was 1 teaspoon of oil that dropped out of that segment of pipe at that joint. Now, I was there daily, and I saw how much dirt that they hauled out of there in those bins. That was way more. It had to be way more than a teaspoon of oil that they spilled. Now, a month ago, actually, they just finished up in August, I believe. Enbridge installed a check valve approximately a mile and a half east of the Bad River. And that check valve is, they would have had to cut the pipe open, shut the line down, cut the pipe open. My question is, with 540,000 gallons of oil or barrels of oil going through on a daily basis, how much was still residual in that line when they opened it up? Certainly it had to be more than a teaspoon that come out of there.
Yeah.
But yet we haven't heard, you know, we haven't heard how that process went from the actual Enbridge officials.
Yeah, and we're not surprised about that. You know, again, I got to back up here a second. It's going to be on Peacock, the Bad River documentary. Thank you, Haley. And we had a chance to watch the documentary and also have the director on. And the story is compelling. Joe, I want to ask you, what can our listeners do? We have listeners all over the country watching us, listening to us on 30 other stations. What can they do to support your work, Joe?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. One of the things that we have is we do have a link on our Bad River Tribal website, Defend the Bad River. You can make charitable contributions to help us with our legal expenses moving forward. And actually, there are places that are still showing the movie. And what they did was they paid 50% of the proceeds from the theaters. It came back to Bad River. The last update that I had, we received over $17,000 of funds that were generated through ticket sales. And,
wow.
Greatly appreciated. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's amazing too. And Haley, what a documentary! And we talk the footage with the elbow, the way the river has changed. As Joe was saying, it's just a you know, you can't stop water.
No, and yeah, no. It's only a matter of time before that erosion from the meandering river kind of takes down that corner and does expose that pipeline. And if you remember back to Kalamazoo and just how many gallons of oil was spilled during that. And now picture that going into Lake Superior. I mean, I know there's so many of us residents from across the states surrounding the Great Lakes that love to vacation or spend time around our Great Lakes, but these pipelines are really just poison, and it's a bomb waiting to go off.
Absolutely. And there's a number of right here through northern Wisconsin. We have all those waterways that lead to Lake Superior from Superior all the way through northern Wisconsin, as well as when you get over to the UP, of course, all the water there, all the rivers and streams, if they don't go north to the Lake Superior, they're going south to Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And then we have the issue under the straits. That's another reason why this pipeline actually needs to be shut down. We've got what's going on here in Bad River. We have what's going on in the straits, and combined, I mean, we're looking at a major disaster of apocalyptic proportions here. You know, with all the millions of people that rely on that good, clean water that we have up here in the Great Lakes region.
And we have a lot of allies, too, white allies that have resorts and fishing. They don't want to see this either. It's, again, we need to have some kind of plan of action, whether it's reaching out to the DNR or whomever and stop Enbridge again. I'm just worn out by this whole thing.
Right. The other thing that recently the Army Corps of Engineers had taken comments from the public, and we had over 150,000 comments against the reroute and the EIS that was turned in, put out there by the Army Corps of Engineers. Now, recently, they just put out a final draft, and I've yet to see what the final draft entails. I don't know if they changed it at all, but I'd certainly I'm interested in looking at it again.
Joe, can you hold on for a part in another segment?
Sure. Yes, I will.
Right on. We're Joe Bates, Bad River Tribal Elder. We're talking about Line 5, and we'll be right back after this short break.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Yeah, hey, Joe. Did we do that back in the day? Hey, we're with Joe Bates, Bad River Elder, or Tribal Elder, and we're talking about Line 5. Can you talk a little bit about your involvement with the film?
I did have a little segment in there, a few lines. Of course, I like the fact that they did use some of my drone footage in the movie during the high water event, and then I narrated that small segment there, and then just in the closing as well, I was really impressed with how well the movie was put together. I had no idea that we had that many people that were going to be involved in it. And I thought it was great, you know, to get a broad spectrum. Sorry about the shaking. The broad spectrum of everyone's involvement. We had people that were pro-pipeliners that were also interviewed, but a number of them refused to have their interviews put on in the movie. Wow. I'm not sure why, but you know, to them, it looks like a one-sided type movie, but it was given the opportunity from the opposition to speak out as well. Of which they didn't want to go public with.
Well, but, Haley, it was a very emotional ending, wasn't it, Haley?
Oh,
yeah, it was.
That ending was beautiful and believable and unbelievable.
Yeah, the film we're talking about is the Bad River film documentary by Mary Mizio and Joe Bates here, who we're speaking with. Bad River tribal elder had a role in that. So yeah, I encourage everyone to check out the Bad River documentary, which will be out on Peacock in November.
Absolutely. And then it currently, if you go to badriverfilms.com, it may take you to a link where you can actually watch it free right now. And and then, like I say, you can always go once you see the movie, if you feel compelled that you'd like to help us with our fight, you go to badrivertribe.gov and click on the link to donate to Defend the Bad River. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Joe, I'm going to have you on just for a couple more minutes here. I wanted you to give that information, and I'm glad you did. It's just, again, we started this, if you remember, Joe, we started this show because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation. So we appreciate you coming on and also having that amazing documentary that Haley spoke of that we had an opportunity to watch and have the director and writer on, and her amazement by, I think, peeling back the onion and seeing really what natives are really dealing with when it comes to everything just amazed her. She thought she was going to learn about just pipelines, and she learned about a lot of the things that we go through as Indigenous people of the North.
As well as the other thing that we have coming up is Enbridge has meddled in our internal affairs here. They meddled in our last election that took Mike Wiggins Jr. out of the chairman's position. Whoa. And currently we have another election coming up in November of this year, and we have three positions on that ballot up for election. We have our vice chair, our junior council member, as well as our secretary. Our current secretary is and I'll mention it, his name is Jay McPhee, because it's on court documents, it's in federal court records, for him colluding with Enbridge employees, April Holdren, who is she was a public relations person here in Bad River up until the federal court case. Jay McPhee met with April Holdren on a number of accounts and shared information with her at a dining table right here in Odena. And, and currently they have, they're trying to meddle in with this election as well. They're already attacking me. I did get on the ballot for junior council member. I feel it's my inherent duty to preserve what we have, and it's the least I can do to help protect what we have for the next seven generations.
Wow, so, well, good for you.
Tribal members, I appreciate your vote of support.
Good for you for stepping up, too. And I'm just so, when Enbridge and Line 3 were here in the Twin Cities, they infiltrated all our high school sports, our tournaments, our hockey tournaments, our basketball tournaments. They were sponsoring it like they were the good neighbor. And basically, they didn't hire people. They brought their own people in all across the country. They didn't, all the things that they promised never came to fruition. They got $20 an hour jobs with no health care to tribal members up north. And it was ridiculous. So, Joe, I appreciate so much what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. Like I said, it's the least I can do. So,
well, is there anybody or any website or Facebook that we could support your running for tribal office?
Well, I do have a Cash App, and I also do take Venmo payments as well as just Facebook Messenger payments.
Right on. So, that's Joe Bates, Bad River Tribal
donations
Elder.
For election materials would be appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, I know it's spendy, and I know that it costs. So, Joe, again, one more time on how people can find the Bad River, what's going on, the website again.
Yes, that our tribal website is badrivertribe.gov, and it'll bring you to our main page. Right there in the top right-hand corner is, there you go. And there you go. You got the link right there. So you can click on the tab on our page, and you can go from there. Just follow the instructions.
DefendTheBadRiver.org, all one word.
Yes.
Joe, thank you so much for being on, and let's do this again real quick, as soon as we can again. Let's do this again. Let's not make it 7 years.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. That sounds great. Thank you very much for having me on, and I appreciate it. It's an honor. Thank you.
Pini, we'll see you soon, Joe. Good luck, and we'll be watching what's going on there and reporting. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Wow. Well, Haley, amazing guest again. Amazing show. Really appreciate the production value that you give Native Roots Radio. It was just really, really good. Thank you so much.
Oh, of course. It's my pleasure. And it's really, people like Joe and Rachel Thunder, who provide this great content, keep us updated with the important issues going on. We're a little family radio show of two people here, and it's something we both do part time. So, it's important that we stay up to date about all the important issues from all around Turtle Island.
I like how you frame that. That was awesome. A little mom, pa, little family radio show. I love it.
Yeah, a little native-owned minority group.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to this family-owned radio show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote, vote, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Tuesdays in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Georgia and Wisconsin Friday as she continued her push to make abortion access a major campaign issue after the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Now in more than 20 states, we have Trump abortion bans, many with no exceptions even for rape and incest. It is immoral.
Former President Donald Trump will be in North Carolina for a rally later today. There are worries about delays for election results coming out of another important state, Georgia. The Republican-controlled Board of Election passed a new rule that requires all ballots to be counted by hand. President Biden hosts the leaders of India, Australia, and Japan, the so-called Quad, for potentially his final meeting of the group while he's in office. That's taking place in his hometown of Wilmington, Delaware. This is ABC News. As Boeing's commercial airplane division deals with a strike of 30,000 workers, another Boeing unit sees a change in command.
Boeing's Defense, Space, and Security unit is a major revenue generator for the company. It made about 40% of Boeing's revenue in the first 6 months of this year, but it's had problems, like the Starliner space capsule, which left two astronauts in space after issues and production problems, along with cost overruns. Boeing CEO announcing the head of Boeing Space and Defense is out. CEO Kelly Ortberg saying it is Boeing's priority to restore the trust of customers and meet the high standards they expect. Alex Stone, EBC News.
California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a new bill into law that's intended to protect children from social media addiction. The law takes effect in 2027. It makes it illegal for platforms to knowingly provide addictive feeds to children without parental consent. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.